Hello and welcome to Serene Reflections, a podcast of Dharma Talks from the Wallawa Buddhist Temple. I am Reverend Clarissa Beatty, a Zen monk and Buddhist priest from the mountains of Northeast Oregon, where we practice contemplative meditation, the Chan of Bodhidharma, the Zen of Dogen, the Serene Reflection Meditation of Reverend Master G.U. Kennett. You are invited to let yourself grow naturally still, to let go of the world for a while. Join us in listening in sound, in listening in stillness, turning within to listen from the heart that seeks the way. From great compassion comes forth the pure Dharma body, unborn, uncreated. We pray that the darkness of our delusion may be illuminated by true compassion. The Enlightened One, with knowledge of all things, appeared in the western heaven, containing within himself the whole universe, worlds as numberless as the sands of the Ganges. We pray that all may be as enlightened as he, so that great compassion will be eternally ours. These lines open the offertory from the Festival of the Buddha's Enlightenment. Just as for many other festival ceremonies, its message of teaching begins with this sentence: from great compassion comes forth the pure Dharma body, unborn, uncreated. We pray that the darkness of our delusion may be illuminated by true compassion. This first sentence points to great compassion as the very ground from which the Dharma springs forth, circling around to true compassion as illuminator of the darkness of delusion. From great compassion comes forth the pure Dharma body. Once this reminder has been expressed, we may clearly hear the next teaching. Within this setting, the teaching on the Buddha's enlightenment then unfurls. The Enlightened One, with knowledge of all things, appeared in the western heaven, containing within himself the whole universe, worlds as numberless as the sands of the Ganges. The story of the Buddha's all-encompassing glittering enlightenment, the Pure Land of the enlightenment of all existence, is presented like a jewel in the setting of compassion. It shines because it reflects the illumination emanating from great compassion, which enfolds even the infinite. Here in the offertory, enlightenment shines within this context as an example to all of us. It is the offering of the Buddha and his Dharma to us, the Sangha, as next, we pray that all may be as enlightened as he, so that great compassion will be eternally ours. Why seek the truth? Why seek to know Buddha? Why seek enlightenment? So that great compassion will be eternally ours. Wrapped up in these opening lines of the offertory is the purpose of practicing Buddhism, so that great compassion will be eternally ours. Compassion isn't merely a byproduct of Buddhist training, a beneficial side effect of having a meditation practice. Compassion is the training. Compassion is the foundation of our practice and the result. So, what is compassion? In light of the offertory's teaching, great compassion is everywhere. Look around. Look with care. Where do you see compassion? How do you define compassion? How do you experience compassion? How do you practice compassion? In Buddhism, compassion is the usual English translation of the Sanskrit word karuna. From the Buddha's earliest recorded teachings, and even from before Buddhism, karuna is one of the Brahma Viharas. The Brahma Viharas are the four divine abodes or heavenly mind states cultivated by those who long for freedom from suffering. These are Maitri, Karuna, Mudita, and Upeksha. Maitri is friendship or benevolence. Karuna is compassion. Mudita is empathetic joy, and upeksha is equanimity. To come to dwell in these states, one reflects on them regularly, tries to practice them in daily life. In practice, compassion takes infinite forms. Maybe it looks like respectful listening, or careful inclusion, or clear setting of boundaries. Maybe it looks like doing regular volunteer work, going for a walk with a new acquaintance, putting in extra hours to cover for a colleague. True compassion does not grow jaded. It simply does what's good to do. Great compassion doesn't ask me to disregard my own health and well-being, though it may well stretch me to let go where I cling to habits, opinions, and ideals. Depending on context, the Sanskrit word karuna can signify pathos, sympathy, mercy, sorrow, tenderness. But karuna in Buddhist practice isn't only an emotion, though it may be experienced through a wide range of emotions and can sometimes bring us to tears. Karuna, compassion, is the quality of heart and mind which connects with others, which sympathizes. When I act compassionately, I refrain from cutting myself off from others,
while also taking care not to perpetuate suffering for any being, including myself. Zen Buddhism is part of the Mahayana tradition, the way of the great vehicle, which emphasizes training for the benefit of all sentient beings, our effect on others, our interconnection with all existence. Mahayana Buddhism is also called the Bodhisattva path. The word bodhisattva means literally a being on the way to enlightenment. It is someone who helps all beings. You and I can be bodhisattvas. We can aspire to the qualities of great compassion, love, and wisdom. These qualities are symbolized in human form in Buddhist iconography as the great bodhisattvas. A statue of the Bodhisattva Kuan Yin Pusa, placed reverently on an altar, represents the compassion at the heart of each one of us. When we make gassho or bow before a statue of Kuan Yin, like a mirror, the statue reflects the potential for great compassion that is also within us. By bowing, I may recognize my own altruistic nature, expressing my wish to live from the heart that wishes all beings well. The scripture of Avalokiteshvara points out how to take refuge in this compassionate nature inherent in all things, even in times of great adversity. The image of the thousand-armed Chenrezig reminds us that compassion is willing to appear in infinite shapes and forms, big or small, trivial or profound, however and wherever needed to help beings, without judgment, complaint, or measure. Have a look sometime at the detail of the helpful implement held in each hand. In some scrolls, each tool is distinct. When times are especially rough, when hard times go on and on, I may come to feel quite void of compassion. It can seem like great compassion is missing from the whole world. This is the time to go looking for it. This isn't wishful thinking, it's skillful means. If I set myself to looking for compassion, it helps me get out of my doldrums and puts me to work for the benefit of myself and all beings. Perhaps I myself may be the means through which compassion may come into the world again. Should I call compassion by the Chinese Kuan Yin? Or the Japanese Kanzeon? Or the Sanskrit Avalokiteshvara? Should I call it by some other name? How do you pronounce that? Do we use the pinyin or the Wade Giles romanization? Should I use the Tibetan name Chenrezig, the Vietnamese Guan Am, the Indonesian Guan Im? What image, what name works for you? Do you call it love, kindness, patience, clarity? How do you spell compassion? When I was in kindergarten, the teacher gave us miniature spelling tests. They were short little quizzes with short little words, and they made us little peanuts very anxious. It was such a big kid thing to be taking a test. We would painstakingly copy down a handful of words from the chalkboard onto a piece of paper, take it home, and dutifully practice for the next day's test by writing out each word over and over until we had it memorized. Then, the next day, I would get all the words right on the spelling test and proudly take home the paper with its mark of 100% A+. One day, the 5-year-old I received the test paper back with a mistake marked in red. It was the word friend. It was spelled F-R-E-I-N-D. I was so upset. I had practiced the day before, and I knew that F-R-E-I-N-D was right. Of course, eventually it came out that I must have copied it down wrong from the board. Even this did not change the fact that I had misspelled something. I then had to copy it out correctly, filling a whole piece of paper, and I did not like this. I resolved to buckle down on spelling, with the result that I became a very good speller throughout my school career. All through elementary school, this continued to be a source of inflated pride for me, as I mistakenly thought myself better than those who couldn't spell well, or for whom spelling didn't matter. Is compassion soft or hard, weak or strong, swift or gentle? Does it come naturally? Do I need to work at it? Did I get it right? Is it still compassion if I'm not sure how to pronounce it, or define it, or spell it? It was a revelation in high school to discover that historically, English orthography was not always standardized. Even in Shakespeare's day or in colonial New England, a great sprinkling of possible spellings were in use, acceptably and simultaneously for the very same word or name. Poets have license to play with syntax, including spelling, to evoke meaning. In college came the eye-opener that English spelling to this very day is not fixed, that it morphs and evolves year by year, that it's used elastically in endless realms ranging from literature to graffiti to convey by signs what's signified. It was so very freeing to realize that there are multiple iterations of English spoken and written around the globe with a rich plethora of spelling choices. As a schoolteacher, belatedly I learned that for some people, regardless of how bright they are, the issue of spelling can be torture, and that to help such a one be successful, it can be compassionate to let spelling fall far down the list of learning priorities. Spelling is now and always has been a matter of using what is needed to share meaning. Even in spelling, there is a good that is beyond the opposites of right and wrong. The question for me now is not how to spell friend, though I do smile whenever I write that word and notice myself taking care with the spelling. The important thing is to consider this. Am I being a true friend to myself, to others, to all beings? Reverend Master Jiyu, in her everyday speech, used to address people sometimes as friend. This was not affected. It was affectionate. It was respectful. I think she really saw people as friends. And by so doing, this became the case. How compassionate. True friendship means behaving compassionately toward someone and toward oneself. Reflect. What is it to behave compassionately? As a parent, as a partner, as an employee, as a neighbor, as a friend. How do you spell or say or see compassion? How do you live from great compassion? Because it really matters a great deal more that it's lived, and much less how it's spelled or pronounced by you or me or anyone else. Compassion isn't an abstraction, not just a glossary term to master. The image of great compassion is not just out there to adore or to emulate, although this is a start to contemplate the thought of compassion, to wonder just what compassion could be for me, for those around me, for the world. Opening my heart to compassion may not take place obviously, may not feel all that profound or transformative. True compassion is beyond words. When we behave compassionately more and more, when we wish others well, then, even without thinking consciously about it, it becomes possible to live from the depths of the heart, to live and breathe from the ground of all being. During this time of the winter holidays, of the growing darkness of the year, consider letting some sort of compassion brighten your short days and early nights, like a string of lights strung up inside or outside your house. Perhaps when you string up lights this winter, you might think of how great compassion illuminates all things. Like the stars glitter in the deep velvet winter night sky. Like a comet streaking across the early morning sky before it pales. Like a single candle on the pre-dawn altar of your heart. As sunlight sparkles on snowy pine boughs, in stillness and in motion, in darkness and in light, in the silence of quiet reflection and in the chaos of the schoolyard, farmyard, living room. Let compassion glow or glimmer, and befriend.
Thank you for joining us in listening to Serene Reflections from the Heart That Seeks the Way. To learn more about this practice, including more about how to meditate, you are invited to visit our website at walawabuddhisttemple.org. Here, in the Kanzan Shrine of our meditation hall, we offer the merit of our practice of serene reflection meditation to all beings, including you, wherever you may be.